The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy on the other side of the glass, Tom, engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to this Tuesday, April 21st, 2020 edition. Can't wait for the month of April to get over with. Kind of counting it down. Let's move on. Hopefully May will be a better month. We're practicing, of course, safe distancing while bringing people together from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Tom, do you realize what day today is?
Tuesday, the 21st day of April. We're 3/4 of the way through the month.
Time's
up. We have yet to hit our first 100-degree day.
Time's up. Today is Queen Elizabeth II's 94th birthday. No celebration, of course, in light of the coronavirus.
And you know what? She's a World War II baby.
She is.
She was
a classy woman.
In her early
classy
20s, in the 50s, something like that.
We're in the season one of The Queen. We're watching The Crown, that series about the Queen. We're in season one. Very interesting stuff. Trying to watch some TV and then not go back to the computer. We'll have dinner. We'll watch TV, one of these series or something, or a movie, but no more going back to the computer. It's got to be a two-hour period before I go on to go to sleep. I'm not going to read this bad news over and over again and then have nightmares about coronavirus. And I don't think I'm alone out there. A lot of people are having nightmares about this. Anyway, let's move on. University of Arizona Director of Economic and Business Research Center in the UALer College of Management is Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond with us on the live line. Dr. Hammond, how are you, sir?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. The new figures came out, 11.6% of Arizona's total workforce. That's about 420,000 of our friends and neighbors now are out of work due to the pandemic. George Hammond, how bad will it get? What's your prediction before we peak?
Well, one thing you want to keep in mind is there's a huge amount of uncertainty about the outlook right now. And what drives that uncertainty is that we don't know how the outbreak is going to progress going forward. So we don't know when it will be under control. We don't know when social distancing will start to ease. We don't know when people will go back to restaurants and bars the way they used to. So just keep that in mind. As far as the unemployment rate, you also want to keep in mind that before the downturn began, there were about 160,000 people who are already unemployed. So you had 420,000 initial unemployment claims, so those roughly correspond to job losses on top of that, and you get an unemployment rate that's in the neighborhood of 15%. I think we'll be somewhere in that neighborhood in the second quarter, and it will go up a little bit from there. I think we'll peak out at least under kind of baseline assumptions at 19%. But you also want to keep in mind that the pessimistic scenario that I look at has almost the same likelihood as the baseline scenario, and that would take the unemployment rate up over 22%.
Then you're in the territory of no longer deep recession. You're talking almost depression numbers, aren't you, George Hammond?
No, depression is a very different process. It's a very deep but also a very long lasting downturn. I think we've got a chance to see the Arizona economy hit bottom in the third quarter with net job losses in the neighborhood of somewhere between 480,000 and 700,000 depending on exactly how things go. But once we hit bottom, I think we've got a good chance to see growth return. And the growth rates are going to look really good because we're coming off this very low level of economic activity. But, the one thing to keep in mind is there's a lot of uncertainty about the outlook. and that this is a downturn unlike any other that you know any of us have really experienced. This, you know, essentially a sudden stop or a shutdown of the economy for a couple of months is very different from a prolonged and extremely deep downturn like the Great Depression. So this is something very different. I think we'll come out of it faster, and I think it'll take time to get back to where we were at the end of 2019, but I think we'll do it, you know, over the next couple of years.
It's kind of what they call a black swan, isn't it, Dr. Hammond?
Yeah, you know, and a black swan is an event of very low likelihood, but a very, very high impact. And that's exactly what a pandemic is. The likelihood of a pandemic is low in any given year, but boy, when one happens, it really causes major economic disruptions.
We are lucky that we have government jobs here, and they have not been as impacted, have they, Dr. Hammond?
Well, not to date. You know, the federal government jobs will likely be fairly stable. The defense industry is also a huge part of the Tucson economy, and that's unlikely to be hit by the same kind of supply chain disruptions that will affect the manufacturing industries that source more globally. But the University of Arizona looks like it will be hit fairly hard by the necessity of shutting down the university. Well, at least ending classes. The university is still up and operating. Classes are going on, but the students were by and large asked to leave campus, and you know that has financial impacts for the university that are going to matter. Furloughs have been announced and will happen over the next, roughly through the middle of 2021.
Yes, Dr. Robbins will be my guest tomorrow, the University of Arizona president, and these economic forecasts that he's been putting out are based on the fact that one-on-one or face-to-face teaching will resume in the fall, and if it has to continue online, that's going to mean a bigger financial hit on the U of A, Dr. Hammond.
Yes, and I'm sure Dr. Robbins will explain that in detail. From my perspective, that means some things for the Tucson economy. If the students are unable to return to campus, that will impact the broader community, retail, restaurants and bars, even if they are open, the travel and tourism industry more broadly will be affected.
I think we're positioned pretty good on the tourism with our resorts. International travel is pretty much off the board in 2020, but people, Dr. Hammond, are still going to want to take some, try to carve out a little getaway time when the all clear does sound, whether that comes in June or July. People are going to want to get away, and they're going to want to probably stay closer to home. So I think we could be in better shape than a lot of places in that regard. Your thoughts?
Sure, that's a definite possibility. People are, once the outbreak is under control and people feel comfortable going out and, staying in hotels, eating in restaurants, visiting bars, congregating with other people, as soon as people feel comfortable with that again, we'll see economic activity bounce back fairly rapidly. People are probably not going to be as excited about getting back into planes. I think that will take longer to rebound, but that means that, RV, camping, driving trips are going to be more popular. And, Tucson is, and Arizona more generally, is a very attractive destination for people who want to get away and see, the really beautiful state that we have.
What about construction? Some of the projects, Dr. Robbins has said some of the U of A projects are on hold. I wonder if that is going to be going across the board here in town. What are you hearing in that regard?
I think we will see impacts on the construction sector, particularly in the second quarter. There's not a lot of what drives particularly residential construction activity is population growth. And Arizona's population growth is driven primarily by net migration, people moving into the state. And that's just there's not going to be much of that in the second quarter. I think it'll pick up a little bit in the third and more so as we go through the end of the year and into 2021. So I do think that construction activity will probably slow a bit in the near term. But the long-term prospects are good.
All right. I'm going to have to wrap it up with you, but I think in the long term, people may want to get out of the big cities in California and in New York and maybe look to places like Arizona, more of the wide open spaces. That's a possibility when we talk about migration, but that's for another time, Dr. Hammond. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
George Hammond is the Director of Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona Eller College of Management. Want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery. It's monasdanishbakery.com. I could eat those macaroons day and night. I love them so much. Really have to control myself with them. I could probably even eat them. Tom Fairbanks, jump in here. I could almost eat some in the morning with my oatmeal. I like the Mona's macaroons. That'd be a little much. But
do macaroons come in different flavors?
Oh, well, what they do, they're very traditional up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Of course, you've got the coconut. And then they do sometimes they'll put some chocolate chips in there, little chocolate, but then there's certainly a swirl on top of chocolate. They do come, some places do them in other flavors, but I'm very traditional and like the traditional macaroon. Many people, though, right now are just craving, Tom, for a Danish Kringle.
Oh, yeah.
The comfort food is so important right now. You can walk into Mona's. They're not closed. They're open for business.
Can I ask you a question about the Kringle?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it permissible to dunk a part of your Kringle in your coffee?
Of course, people do it all the time. But you can walk into Mona's right now, and I hope you do. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open now for bakery, all your bakery goods, your breads. If you want something from the grill, they'll do it for you. You can call ahead. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. The number's 579-1959. Mona's, like so many of our local restaurants, trying to survive these difficult times. Please support them. They're open 6:30 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. Shelley Fishman coming up right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. you can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
And here he is, telephonically, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, I sure miss our visits. I always enjoy, or used to enjoy anyway, in the old days where you'd come in a little before 11:30 and we'd be able to visit, talk about history, talk about books. I really miss and I think a lot of people are missing that one-on-one contact, Shelley.
It's clear that after a couple of months of this social distancing, personal contact with people becomes more and more important and harder to come by. I hope that our listeners have found ways to communicate with friends and relatives, either through telephone conversations or video conference calls, or even going for long walks, maintaining 6 feet apart. But there are ways of getting together with people in ways that are safe and that don't threaten other people as well, especially in a city like Tucson, a community like Tucson, where we don't have the kind of concentrations of people that make it difficult to come up to a corner without bunching up in groups of 20.
Yeah, there you go. Shelley, of course, the last 2 days, it has been about oil and really going into uncharted territories on Wall Street. This is something I think no one ever could foresee.
Well, last week, or maybe it was the week before, I kind of lose track of time, but we talked about the deal that was struck between Russia and OPEC.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that it was nonsense, that you had a 30% reduction in demand, so a 10% reduction in supply would not have the effect that maybe the president hoped it would. And that, in fact, has come to pass. There is more crude oil now on the market than the market can store. As a result, nobody's buying any. So, in effect, even though there is a posted price that is somewhere between $10 and $20 right now per gallon, per barrel, the actual price of oil is zero because nobody is buying any.
All right, let's talk a little bit about these are desperate times, and some people are looking at raiding their retirement account. What can you tell us about that strategy?
Gosh, so there was a really interesting article in Sunday's Star by Liz Weston, and the headline of the article is "How to Raid Your Retirement Funds," and that's really says it all. About the worst thing you could do is raid your retirement funds. It is just long term a very unwise way to come up with the money you might need on a day-to-day basis. Unfortunately, for many people, it might be the only funds available to them. So she very rightly points out that before you think about using your retirement funds, especially if you're less than 59 and a half years old, do some other things or explore some other possibilities first, like, you know, cutting your spending, maybe stopping your contributions if you're still salaried, stop your contributions to your IRA or your 401k, put those on hold for a while to increase or improve your cash flow. Use other funds first. You have some other savings first, other things that you might be able to use that don't have adverse tax consequences. She suggests selling stuff. Now, I don't know that most people have stuff that would, you know, that they could sell in private markets or in yard sales or whatever that would produce significant revenues. But if you've got stuff that can be sold, that's a way of raising revenue. But very practically, ask your creditors or the people you owe money to on a routine basis for concessions. A lot of creditors, a lot of landlords, a lot of mortgage companies are providing some concessions. They're not forgiving the money, but they're delaying your need to pay it for a while. And then, you know, seek help. There are charities and there are other organizations around town that are providing some things for free that you might ordinarily have to pay for, like food. So if, you know, if you've exhausted all of those possibilities and you're sitting there with some kind of retirement savings, then they might be available to you. And what she suggests is, let's go through those in the least bad first. By bad, I mean the strategy that has the least adverse tax consequences. So if you have a Roth IRA, you've already paid taxes on the money that you put into that Roth IRA. You'll have to pay taxes and maybe a penalty on the gains that you take out of it, but that might be the least worst first step to look at if you really need some funds. The second would be a 401k plan at your job. Normally, you can take a loan from that 401k plan. It used to be $50,000 maximum, and you had to pay it back in 5 years. They've increased that to $100,000. So you can borrow from yourself up to about $100,000 and pay it back over 5 years without penalty. And guess what? You get to set the interest rate you pay yourself back.
Huh, wow.
So that's the good news. The bad news is if you don't pay it back in 5 years, there are severe penalties.
Yeah.
So none of this comes free for nothing, as they say in Brooklyn.
Hey, you know, you're talking about selling stuff. In the first section of the New York Times today, someone was selling, and they had a full-color ad of this thing. It's a Renoir painted in 1898, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder why this is now available. Hey, desperate times, right, Shelley?
I guess. I mean, I don't have a Renoir available for sale. A couple of Manets and a Modigliani, but no Renoirs.
Yeah. And, of course, it had the dimensions and full color. They did not list the price. You had to inquire about.
I wonder about the provenance as well, but okay.
Yeah, who knows? But
let's continue to go down this list.
Okay,
it's
go ahead.
Interesting. If you have a traditional IRA, you can take a 60-day loan from it, no penalty, but you got to put the money back in 60 days.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to pay if you're younger than 59 and a half, you're going to pay a 10% penalty plus. You're going to have to pay the taxes on any gains or on any money that you take out of it, because that's pre-tax money. There's two possible alternatives that were not listed in the article that I'm going to put at the very, very bottom of the list.
Okay.
If you have an annuity, whether it's a qualified retirement annuity or a non-qualified annuity, you can, that's your money, you can borrow from that or you can take money out of that. There are serious consequences if you're below 59 and a half, but it is something to look at in the absence of other alternatives. And then the last one, and this is the worst of all, is if you have an insurance policy that has cash value, or if you have an insurance policy, even a term policy, that you feel that you might not need when you die, very often you can sell those policies to somebody who will pay you literally pennies on the dollar, but it's a way of taking the cash value, especially in a whole life or a universal life policy, taking the cash value out of that policy. And you give up all or most of the death benefit, but you don't have to pay money or continue to pay into that policy anymore, and you can get a chunk of cash out of it. There are other ways to turn insurance policies into cash. I would absolutely recommend for any of these solutions to cash flow problems, talk to your financial advisor. Don't make decisions on your own. All of these things are complex and have unintended consequences. But if you're at a point where you need to convert some of what you were considering to be retirement money into cash, by all means, have that conversation with either your financial advisor. If you don't have a financial advisor, find one and have that conversation and have it frankly and find what alternatives you might have to get you out of trouble in the short term.
All right, Shelley, good advice. Stay safe, my friend. We'll talk with you next Tuesday, same time, same station. Thanks, Shelley.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things is your home for all of those. Well, they do all these, they have these ready-made hydro kits, easy to assemble. So many people doing now their own, planting their own vegetable gardens. Green Things really has ramped up what they call the Green Lady Hydro business. The Hydro store is right inside the main West retail building on the south side over at 3384 East River Road. Green Things is your home for getting all of those nutrients that you need to get the garden up and running, brands like Fox Farm, and different soils like Roots Organic and Ocean Forest. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They're on the web at greenthingsaz.com and, of course, zocalovillage.com. Hard to believe the 50th anniversary of Earth Day is with us tomorrow. University of Arizona Biosphere 2 will commemorate that 50th anniversary by hosting a virtual Earth Fest. Let's check in now with biologist John Adams. John is the deputy director of UA Biosphere 2. John, how are you, sir?
I am doing well, and good afternoon to everyone.
Well, you've got a lot of great folks lined up to take part in this event. Give us kind of the overview. What do you have in mind, John?
Well, I mean, originally, before all of the social distancing came down, we had actually planned to have, obviously, an in-person celebration at Biosphere 2 in commemoration of the 50th anniversary, and that would have been this past Saturday. So we pivoted. We still wanted to reach out to the community and bring to them Biosphere 2 and sort of the really unique aspects of the facility. And so we had actually partnered with Run Tucson. We were going to do a 5K walk run around Biosphere 2. The first time that I know, at least I personally have been involved with one, I've been there for over 20 years. So we are really looking forward to that, but we're going to do that virtually so folks get an idea, and we've just postponed that. So hopefully when, we can go back to some level of normalcy, although I'm not sure it will ever be normal, we can have people back out and we can redo or have that run. So we're going to start that off at 10 o'clock. We'll show you and give you a tour of Biosphere 2 through the eyes of our visitor center movie. And then we have a great lineup of panels for you. So we've got a couple of our researchers who recently subjected our rainforest to a 70-day drought. They're going to talk a little bit about that. Many of you probably know or recognize the name Jane Pointer and Tabor McCollum, but they are two former biospherians, and they were instrumental in building the facility, also lived inside of it for 2 years with six other people. They're going to kick off the 12 o'clock hour. And then at 1 o'clock, we've got two of our ocean researchers, and they're going to talk about how we're growing or preparing to grow corals here in the Sonoran Desert.
Do you have any student presentations?
We do. So we have been able to capture some interviews. There is a science fair that goes on by SARSEF, and what we've been able to do is connect with many of the students and some of the students who participated in that. We've got some interview from them. They're going to describe their projects and their interests in science, and hear from these young budding scientists. So it should be a great afternoon, and people can join in for the entire program, or they can join in for those programs that most interest them.
One of the silver linings, and there haven't been many, have there, John, about this whole coronavirus, has been that folks are noticing how clear the air is, and I've had people say, it seems like the skies just seem so blue, and we're seeing pictures on Facebook, John Adams, of animals that are kind of coming back to the like national parks, and the people aren't around places like Yosemite and Yellowstone. It's kind of a weird coincidence that this is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, and one of the positives that, if there are very few, and I know there are, is the whole feeling about how important Mother Earth is to us.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, all the resources that each of us is so dependent on obviously comes from Earth itself in various forms, and changes to those landscapes inevitably impact the resources that we are all so dependent on, whether that's an ingredient for a particular pharmaceutical or other resources, whether that's food and other products. So, yeah, that's important. And you're right. I was just on another call before this, and they mentioned, have you looked up in the sky and you just don't see, for example, any planes, and you travel anywhere and traffic is considerably lighter than it was. And if you look at those satellite images, the level of pollution that you see in these large cities around the world is just substantially less. So, it does have an impact. And, we can see that in sort of the lessened of activities that we currently have in this current state.
You mentioned Jane and Tabor and their presentation, kind of original biospherians. That's at 12 o'clock. Biosphere 2 was ahead of its time, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, really, if we look back, it's, you know, nearly 30 years or over 30 years that they broke ground on it. And, you know, in 1991, these people lived inside. And today, we are still able to use it for cutting-edge earth and environmental science research. And I think that's a true testament of just how innovative and forward-thinking this original group was when they decided to build Biosphere 2.
Why don't you go over again that schedule and how people can take part? What do they need to do to get involved with this virtual Earth Fest tomorrow, John Adams?
Yeah, so the way people get involved is you can visit Biosphere 2's Facebook page. So just go onto Facebook. You don't have to have an account because we're a public account. And right there, there's a whole description and a link. And so if you want to register for the different panels, we have a link that you can do so. But again, our Facebook page is the best place to go to get all of that information. And then the lineup, we're going to kick everything off at 10 o'clock with a virtual, what we're calling Earth Run. It's a virtual run of the historic property of Biosphere 2. It's about a 5K. We're then going to debut and show one of our Biosphere 2 Visitor Center movies to give you an idea of the Biosphere 2 as a whole and some of the history, as well as how the University of Arizona is using it today for earth and environmental science research. And then at the 11 o'clock hour, we've got two of our researchers who recently did rainforest research, subjecting it to a drought. And one of them is in Germany. One of them is here at the University of Arizona. So we're going to hear firsthand from them the unique features of Biosphere 2 that made that experiment possible. Jane Pointer and Tabor McCollum, two former biospherians, are going to describe and talk about their experience building and living inside Biosphere 2. And then at the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from two of our ocean researchers who are instrumental in preparing our ocean for corals. And they're also going to talk about some giant clams that we're getting ready to introduce into the ocean system as well.
Now, there are no public tours, of course, going on right now, but you don't just lock up Biosphere 2 and walk away. What's going on under the glass right now, John?
No, Bill, you're exactly right. It's a living system. And so we have a group of folks that are spending, you know, every day at Biosphere 2, making sure that those living systems and the devices that support them are running properly so that when we are able to reopen, we can share it back with the public. But also it's well poised to pick up the research that's been going on inside the facility. So, yeah, it's been crucial. And, you know, much like zoos or aquariums where the animals still need to be fed, even though the doors are closed, Biosphere 2 systems are very similar in that nature.
All right, John Adams, appreciate the time. And again, Biosphere 2 Virtual Earth Fest 2020, Earth Day, tomorrow, Wednesday, April 22nd, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Visit Biosphere 2 on Facebook for the event information and to register for the panel discussions. John, I certainly appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Bill, thank you very much. And everybody, please stay safe, and we wish them well.
Thank you very much. John Adams, the Deputy Director of Biosphere 2, where they do such amazing work. Coming up now on 15 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, and coming up next, a Tucson tourism update. And what are the chances that Tucson, if Major League Baseball focuses on Arizona to kind of kick off and get save part of the season, what about Tucson? Would there be a role for us here? We'll talk with Dan Gibson about that and more right after the break. During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com. During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And if you're like me, you're daydreaming, thinking of the time we can hop in the car and get out of Dodge, do something, right? What about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? Perhaps put it on, and I hope you will, into your mind bucket list of things that would be a great kind of, when things open up, people are going to want to carve out a kind of close to home vacation, 3-hour drive from Tucson over to Silver City. And boy, wouldn't it be nice just to recreate in the Gila National Forest, maybe in early summer? SouthwestNewMexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now the spokesman for Visit Tucson, Dan Gibson, with us on the live line. Dan, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. And what I just was talking about Silver City, you could have inserted, if this was, say, an Albuquerque talk show radio, and you could insert just as easy Visit Tucson as you carve out some kind of a summer vacation. Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's, by all accounts, and just sort of like consumer sentiment, is that the first thing that's going to come back is drive travel. I mean, that's sort of just what everyone seems to believe, what surveys of potential visitors are saying. They're going to look to drive first, because you're still going to have, I think, maybe a little bit more reticence to getting onto a plane, just because of the spacing and the sort of proximity and stuff. You can control the environment a little bit more in your own car. And so, I mean, that's where we're going to, I mean, really where we'll start with a recovery plan is really just trying to get Tucsonans back out and engaging with their community. But then beyond that, it'll be very heavy on, saying to people in dry markets, hey, Tucson will be open, we'll be ready to go, we're going to be, these hotels are going to be clean and ready and all these things that you could possibly want. So that's when that date is still to be determined, but it'll be very much pushing the idea of sort of a weekend escape first.
And that's what you are discussing right now at Visit Tucson, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're right in the midst of sort of finalizing a recovery plan and going through that with our board of directors and things like that. But it's the dates are still tenuous, right? I mean, as I don't think it's still very much unknowable when when things will be back online or how that'll even manifest itself, right? Like, mm-hmm. I was on a call today with these sort of travel industry consultants, and they were talking about not flipping a switch, but turning up a dimmer would be more how the economy, the travel industry economy especially, comes back online. And, you know, in a rolling sense, instead of like, all right, cool, Arizona's back in business, everything is open, everything's great, but just sort of this progressive sort of like, okay, we're going to try out opening a little bit more, what's possible, what's safe, and sort of finding that that comfort level, and also what's good for the community as a whole.
This is interesting, this Arizona plan, for want of a better term. It's kind of what was floated first by ESPN last month. Or was it this month? You lose track of time. I don't know.
I have no idea anymore, but yes.
I don't know.
It was definitely a month.
How about a couple of weeks ago, about all 30 big league teams relocating to the Phoenix area? They would quarantine themselves in nearby resorts and play games in empty stadiums. Well, we've got some nice facilities here, too, and it's not that far away.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. I mean, it was funny the day the Arizona Republic sort of got, and ESPN got to that story first about the possibility of what they call the Arizona plan. And then Major League Baseball, I think maybe with like a couple hours, put out a press release like, hey, listen, we're exploring all the options. We haven't landed on anything yet. It's too early to say. But that being said, we, you know, Visit Tucson, we wanted to put our name in the hat and say, we'll do whatever it takes to make this happen. I mean, those are a lot of room nights, right? I mean, just in the most simplest sort of basic way, that's what we're in the business of doing, is trying to fill hotel rooms. And if we can do that with Major League Baseball clubs or whatever end of the minor league system ends up happening at that point. It was funny. I sent the story to Brent and Gerard, our CEO, and our sports department. And Brent had already sent an email to the head of the Cactus League, saying like, we've got fields, we've got we've got stadiums, we've got everything that we need to help in however this comes together. It's opportunity, right? And we want to make sure we look at those opportunities and be forward thinking and just say that we'll be accommodating. And I think that's the best thing, especially our sports department does, is just like, well, let's figure it out. When the World Baseball Classic was going to on the schedule, which is looking to be later in the year now, you know, we had people calling high schools to try to find practice fields for national teams. So at very least, one of the things Visit Tucson can do well is be nimble and aggressive and just try to solve problems for people.
I mean, we have that. We've got the facilities, Keno Sports Complex. You've got High Corbett Field. So, that, you know, the facilities are here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because once that story came out in the Star, I guess Saturday, I was getting emails from all these people in town who were like, how can we help? We really want this to happen. This community has a great tie to baseball, right? I mean, that's something that a lot of Tucsonans grew up with and feel a really strong connection to. We do have great facilities for it. And we've reshuffled those to be used by, you know, Mexican league teams that have come here for preseason training, Korean league teams who are here right as all this stuff started happening, actually, in February and March. People love the facilities. And they're of an excellent quality, and, you know, we've got great places to stay as well. If they're planning on having all of the Major League Baseball teams in just the Phoenix area, they're going to need more fields. There just aren't enough professional fields up in that area, so... We'll be happy. We'll be here. We're ready. You know, we're ready to take on anyone who wants to be in a hotel room, for sure.
What are our signature resorts doing? Did they shut down in April or what? Give us an update on what they're thinking right now about a May opening or what?
Yeah, by and large, most of them have stayed open. Casino del Sol closed and Arizona Inn fully closed. The Omni Tucson National, I believe, are the only. And then Miraval and Cannon Ranch. So there were limited, like, full shutdowns. Most of the resorts have stayed online and then sort of just, you know, trying to make the best of it. There are still people traveling. There are people traveling for business, you know, even to some extent. And then a little bit of the, like, trying to be accessible for healthcare workers and some of the sort of overflow of things that needed to happen for there. So the occupancy is not great, which is really depressing because we had one of the best beginnings of Marches we'd had in a very, very long time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. Everything was going so good. We were actually, really, really great early March, and then sort of all fell apart for obvious reasons. But it's really just now, like, it's this waiting game. You know, I think they and we and we're having conversations with these resort GMs every week is just how do you create the best situation for when we're ready? You know, is how do we get the messaging out? How do we provide sort of distinctives? I still do very much believe that people will want open spaces instead of maybe sort of more of the crowded city space or even amusement parks and things like that, that people will want to be out. It will still feel safer and just a little more comfortable. And so we're really trying to get that message out to sort of stay in people's minds, do the marketing that we can do now without being gross or distasteful. And then as America begins to reopen, Arizona in particular, Southern Arizona, just be ready with a message to say, here are the opportunities we have. Here are the deals that our resorts are offering. We want to get people back to work and doing what we do really well.
And national parks are going to be huge. People are going to want to visit our national parks in the West. And they had a conference call, I guess, with the directors up at Yosemite and Grand Teton, which are closed, like our Grand Canyon. They were trying to figure out when they're going to reopen. And that will be huge for us when the Grand Canyon reopens, Dan Gibson.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, I think, thankfully, we still have some access to National Park and the visitor centers being closed. But people are, I heard the other day, like, people were talking about how all the overflow lots were full at Sabino Canyon. There is very much a pent-up feeling of wanting to be outside and experience the things that, you know, we've been sort of deprived of. And every time we put up a picture of a saguaro on Instagram, there's 50 comments of people saying, I can't wait to go out and see that again, right? Open spaces are going to be a big part of it for the time being. Yeah, it's fascinating. The sort of every day our sort of marketing perspective seems to change a little bit. It adjusts a little bit as new information comes. But I want everyone to be safe. I absolutely. But all of us are just like chomping at the bit to some extent to just have some normalcy, but also just to like really talk about how much we love Tucson and what a great opportunity it'll be for people.
All right, Dan Gibson, what are you you've only got 15 seconds. What are you watching at night?
Oh gosh, what have we been watching? We made it through Tiger King. We almost finished Fleabag. We were behind the curve on that. So my wife is watching Real Housewives of one of the cities right now. So little of everything. Trying to watch some old movies. Try to get caught up on all the movies we missed.
Very cool.
Time, you know?
Thank you very much, Dan Gibson.
My pleasure.
All right, Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey and his show about money is coming up next. And wow, isn't that an appropriate program for us here on 10:30 The Voice? Because everybody's got, it seems like, thinking about their financial, not only their physical health, but their financial health as well. So Dave Ramsey next. Have a great afternoon.